How you doing? Good. All right. Hey, my name is Kelly Smith, lead pastor at Grace Community Church. I'm very excited to be here with you today. Happy Mother's Day to everyone. And whether you're a mother or not, it's still Happy Mother's Day, so enjoy the day. I do want to say today, though, because I know my mom will be listening online, I want to say Happy Mother's Day, Mom, from your favorite son. So, Happy Mother's Day. She'll enjoy that over on the West Coast. But today we are going to be continuing on in our sermon series, How to Be a Perfect Christian. And we have been going through this sermon series, and it's interesting because my daughter hasn't been here the last 2 weeks, and she said, she looked at the bulletin and she said, but you can't be a perfect Christian. And I said, I know. She's like, then why would you preach that? So we are going to talk about this idea of how to be a perfect Christian. Now there's kind of a tongue-in-cheek satire kind of thing, because the reality is you can't be a perfect Christian. But sometimes by looking at what people think it means to be a perfect Christian, you have a better idea of what being a real Christian means, what being an authentic Christian means. So the first week we started by talking about follow the rules. If you want to be a perfect Christian, you need to follow the rules. We talked about that's not really what it is. It's not about following the rules. It's about having Jesus change your life. And when he changes your life, you become a new person. And then that new person is different. And you now follow God and he changes your actions and he changes who you are. It's not about the legalism of following the rules. It's about life-changing transformation from Jesus Christ. And last week we looked about, if you want to be a perfect Christian, you need to join the right church. And we said, welcome, you're here, this is it, we're great, everything's perfect here. And that's not the reality. We all have issues. We are messy people, which means we're a messy church, because we are real people who have real problems, who have sin nature in our lives. And we talked about it's not really joining the right church. It's joining church and having a healthy church, becoming a healthy church, looking at the original church and becoming healthy in how we do things and fellowshipping together and learning together, breaking bread together and falling together in a life under God as brothers and sisters in Christ. So that's what we've been talking about the last couple weeks. And talking about this idea of, you know, we say these things, but that's not really it. And today we're going to change directions a little bit, because we're going to be looking at, so how should you look as a perfect Christian in your life? Not following the rules and not being in the perfect church, but what should your life look like? Well, the reality is, as a perfect Christian, here's really what you should look like. If you're someone who's in a relationship, married, that marriage should look pretty perfect, just so you know. We want you, if you're here, to be perfect in every way. You should be the kind of person who takes walks on the beach at sunset with your spouse, and they just go, oh, everything's great, and everything's perfect, and no problems. Don't worry about the sand fleas out there or everything else that's happening on the beach. You know, you want to be this perfect picture of what's going on. If you're family, you should have, you know, one son, one daughter, and probably a dog in the mix. That's really what a perfect family looks like. I will let you know, if you have cats, you're probably not welcome. So, I say that as a person who has two cats and no dog. But if you want to be a perfect Christian, you need to make sure that, you know, you invite people over, have stuff, but your house should always look perfect. It should be clean, like hire someone to clean it kind of thing. You know, it should look perfect so when people come over, they're like, oh, they have their stuff together. This is really happening here. If you're a parent, and you want to be that perfect parent, that perfect Christian, you know, you should be really reading to your kids at least 2 hours every night. That's really what's going to be good for them and really build that relationship. And if you're here and you're serving and stuff, when you serve, you should always have that perfect smile that you're so happy about everything all the time. This is what it looks like to be a perfect Christian. Really, it's one of our primary ways to be a perfect Christian is to always give off the appearance of perfection, even when things are falling apart on the inside, right? The funny thing is, some people, that's what they believe. They sit there and go, as a Christian, I should always look like I have my life together. I should always really be putting on a show. And that's what we're going to be talking about today is, as a Christian, to be a perfect Christian, you need to put on a show. You need to show the world that everything's perfect. Because I have God in my life now, everything's perfect. Look, everything has come together nicely. That is not how it is, folks. If you are here and you think I'm serious at all, please talk to me after service. We need to get this straight. That is not, putting on a show is not what it means to be a perfect Christian. In fact, it's the exact opposite of that. The problem is, a lot of times the world sits there and goes, look, those people come together. together, they get Jesus in their life, then they come together and look every... We're going to rewind that. That wasn't perfect. I can edit that out. No one will even know online. The rest of the world will think it went perfect. But if people see that if you go, hey, I get Jesus in my life, I come to church, and I show up and look, everyone's perfect. Their life's all put together. Everything's nice. Everything appears how it's great. How can I ever fit into that? They don't know what a mess I am. The reality is, every single one of us is messy. Every single one of us has messy lives. We have sin in our life, but we also have struggles in our life. We deal with real life problems, with finances, with relationships, with all these different things in our life. But a lot of times people think, I need to put on a show. Just ask people when you walk around and the first thing when you come up and see someone, you're like, hey, how are you doing today? And they're like, I'm doing great. And if you stop and say, are you really doing great? Is everything perfect? A lot of times they'll go, well, not really, right? Because we want to put our best foot forward. We want people to go and say, okay, things are nice. We want to be liked as people. And so we put on sometimes the show of that everything's great and everything's perfect. When reality is, sometimes we have all these burdens and struggles and things going on inside of us and sin nature that's really messing us up inside, that we're really having a tough time with. So this idea of putting on a show really has two parts to it. People a lot of times will put on a show to be a good, perfect Christian in two different ways. The first way they do that is to hide their struggles. They put on a show to hide their struggles, to make it appear that they're not having a tough time in life, that their finances aren't tough, that their marriage isn't tough, that they're not struggling with kid relationships, all these different things. We put on this show to make it appear that everything's great. And Paul talks about this in Galatians saying, this isn't what we want to do. He says in Galatians 6, 1 through 2, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. See, Paul's talking here about, look, you shouldn't do this on your own. You shouldn't sit there and not tell people what's going on and not share with them and not let them encourage and help you in what you're struggling with. But we don't necessarily like to show people what we're struggling with. We don't like that word being vulnerable, right? When you're vulnerable and you kind of show that, you have the chance that someone can kind of really tear you apart. You have a chance that someone can hurt you, that someone can say things to you that they could spread rumors about you, that they could start gossiping. You have all these things that when you're vulnerable, it makes it so that, you know, you're vulnerable. And you can be in a tough spot. So it can be tough to open up and share those things. I think a lot of it too, especially in today's day and age, has to do with social media, interestingly. They've done tons of studies that social media has put forth this idea even more that we need to look perfect in any moment. You know, you see people's pictures on Facebook or Instagram, and you see them, and they look just perfect, and everything's great. You didn't see the 35 pictures before that where one eye was closed weird, you know, and the sun was in their eye. And so you see all these things, and it looks like everyone's perfect and happy all the time. But that's really not how it is. But we start seeing that going, boy, my family's not always happy. My family's not always great. Perfect example is back in the back, we have all those pictures of Easter, right? We took up Easter. And I had this picture, my family photo up there. My daughter was here and my wife. And so the three of us were together and we were happy and we looked great and everyone's smiling. But that's really not the looks I get most of the time. This is the look I get most of the time. I'm getting it right now. That's crazy. I told my daughter this morning, I was using a picture of her. She said, what picture? I said, don't worry. But you know, that's the real life I usually live. We had a few months ago, my wife had surgery and she was going in for surgery. So I took a picture, kind of share with the world. You know, and she was sitting there and she was all nice. She had her little gown on and she was, you know, actually kind of looking cute. It was a little odd, you know, all getting ready for surgery. I'm like, oh, she's hot. But the reality is, that's how she was really looking after surgery. She was struggling not to throw up. She was hurting. She was in pain. She was struggling. But that's not the picture I shared with the world, because I want everything to look great and everything to look nice and pretty. But by doing that, we have this false sense of what things look like, of what our life looks like. And when we do that, we don't allow people to share in our struggles. We don't allow them to share in our burdens. We don't allow them to come alongside of us, because we're keeping it hidden inside of what we're really struggling with. The church should be a place where we're really transparent with each other, where we know when we share something with each other that they're going to respond in love and hope, and we can trust them to help build us up and encourage us. And if we want to be a perfect Christian, it's a life where we're living it together, being in each other's lives. It's one of the reasons I love small groups. Why? Because we get to know each other closer and closer. I get to share burdens on my heart. I get to share joys. I get to have all these things that I show other people, and they show me, and we grow together closer. And I get to know the real them instead of just the fake them of kind of what's going on the outside that they show the world. We get to be in each other's life, and we really get to grow together. My wife and I, a few years back, went through some real marriage struggles. And what we found out the issue really was we weren't being open and honest with each other. That we weren't really sharing everything with each other. So we got to a point where we decided, let's just really open up our hearts. Instead of showing you the part of me that I think you want to see, let me show you all the junk inside me too. And it was really tough. And there were a lot of tears. And there were a lot of tough times. Until we got to the point where one day we realized that she knew everything about me. My hopes, my joys, the messy part of me, my sin, my struggles. And I knew all of those about her too. And in that moment I knew that despite knowing all that, or maybe in spite of it, she loved me. She still loved that broken person with everything in her. And I loved her brokenness because it was her, it was part of her, and I wanted to see her healed and encouraged and lifted up. And in that moment, by being vulnerable with each other, by opening up and sharing ourselves with each other, we became closer together once we actually knew the junk about each other. Because you become a real person, they see the real you. You have real relationships together. And so that first part of putting on a show is sometimes not showing people what you're struggling with. Not showing people what's a tough part of your life because you don't want to let them in. The second part of that is a little different. The second way we put on a show sometimes is we hide our sins by making it look like we're not. We put on this shell of like, nope, everything's good. And inside we're sinning. We have thoughts that are horrible. We're making bad choices in life. But we put on this show of letting people not knowing that we really are, because we don't want them to see our sin. The best way I could kind of describe this and what it's and understand this is when you go to a supermarket, and you go to a supermarket and you go in the produce section and you see the most perfect avocado. I will tell you, I love avocados. My wife, not so much, but I love them. I love to look at an avocado and go, I'm going to guac you, and you are going to be my guac, right? I love guacamole, so I look at an avocado, I'm like, I get it, I'm like, that looks awesome. And I'm so excited until I get it home and I open it up and it's rotten inside. And it's just gross. And on the outside, it looked perfect. It looked so great. But inside, it was just diseased. And it was dying. And it was rotten. And sometimes when we put on a show, we're hiding our sins, the brokenness inside of us, by putting on this show of what we want, what we think people want us to look like, and don't want to let them in and know that we have sin nature, that we're broken. And Jesus spoke specifically to this. He said, "What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, you first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will also become clean too. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness." That is a harsh verse. That is tough. In some of the versions, it says, "Woe you who are," or "Woe to you." Anytime you're reading the Bible and it says, "Woe to you," pay special attention and don't do that. Okay? That's just a heads up, tip from Pastor Kelly. Woe to you, go the opposite way, all right? But this idea is that they were sitting there saying, look how religious we are. Look at what we're doing. Look at all our actions. But they weren't actually cleansing the inside and being changed in their heart. They weren't letting God work inside them. They were trying to put on this air, put on this show of perfection. And really, both of these things come down to this idea, this thought that it's a dichotomy between being authentic or really being a hypocrite, right? And that's a strong word, a hypocrite. When you call someone a hypocrite, those are usually fighting words right there. But being authentic or being a hypocrite in what you do. Being authentic means you are who you are and you show that. Knowing that people will love you right where you're at. Not that you're rejoicing and boasting in your brokenness, but that you're saying, "I am broken. I need God because I can't do this on my own." And being authentic with other people versus being a hypocrite where you're showing the world, trying to go, "Yep, everything's great," and it is not inside. It is not inside. We're struggling with what's going on. But there are ways that this can change. There are ways that we can sit there and go, we don't need to put on a show. That we can get away from that and have more authentic relationships with each other. And we're talking about being in a church and in a body. We need two things, an authentic relationship with God, but an authentic relationship with each other. It says in the scriptures, Jesus said, the two greatest laws are love the Lord your God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. Everything else is in the scriptures, in the gospel, in the prophets, everything else is based on those two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Talking about relationships with God and relationships with others. And if we want those relationships to grow, if we want them to be healthy, if we want them to be healing and productive, then we need to be authentic. We need to be open to God and authentic with God, not be like, "I think I'm fine, I don't need you. I need you for everything." And we need to be authentic with each other, where we show each other, "I need help. I need you to help me out here. I need to have help in these areas." The interesting thing about this is that we can do some of these things to help us in these areas. And the first one is this. We confess our sins. It says in James 5:16, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." There is power in confession. When we confess our sins to God, it heals our relationship with God. But when we confess them to each other, our relationships heal with each other as well. Because when you confess something, you take something that's in darkness and you bring it to light. And once it's brought into the light, it's revealed and it can be healed and it is done. Confessing our sins begins that healing process with each other. It's about being open with each other. We're sharing it with each other. Not trying to put on a show. Not trying to make people think that you're doing okay. But confessing to them. Sharing with them. Opening up to them. So that they can be a part of your life. So you can grow together. The next one after confessing your sins is to share your burdens with each other. It says in Galatians 6:2 what we just read, share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. Share each other's burdens. There's a reason we're supposed to share each other's burdens. When you have joy in your life, and if I tell Sue something, I say, "Sue, let me share my joy with you." Guess what? I have this joy, it doesn't diminish, but now she has joy as well. That joy just doubled. When I share joy with someone, it gets bigger. But if I share a burden with Sue, something that's burdening my heart, and suddenly she's praying with me about it, my burden becomes less because she has helped me. When I share joy, it increases. But when I share my burdens, they decrease because we're here for each other. I have someone who comes alongside me. By sharing our burdens together, we grow together. Our relationships get stronger. We are healed from the inside out. And you may sit there and go, well, what does it look like to help someone out with their burdens? That word burden, it's heavy on me, it's burden. What does that mean to help someone else with their burdens? Well, some easy examples. You're at church. Someone's sitting there going, oh man, I need a ride home because I have to walk. Give them a ride home, right? It's an easy thing. But you just helped their burden that they were trying to figure something out, and you helped them. And it was this easy to do, but it changes your relationship. You suddenly start growing together. You have a closer relationship, but you also help them out so they're not struggling as much. If you were sitting there and you go, I've got someone on my mind. I've been thinking about this person. Instead of just thinking about them, give them a call. Be like, hey, I was thinking about you. How are you doing? Has anyone ever got a call out of the blue when someone says, hey, I was just thinking about you. How are you doing? It changes your day. It changes your whole day because you're like, that person's thinking about me. They care about me. And then they cared enough to contact me just to talk. It suddenly takes that some of that burden off you because it's being shared with someone else. And they're helping you in it. And they're sharing that with you. You know you're not alone. And we always have God with us. But as humans, we like to have people with us as well. Physical relationships where we can see and talk and touch, where we have that relationship together. If you're seeing something and you go, boy, that person probably needs help. I wish someone would help them. You are someone. We are all someones. If you ever sit there and go, I wish someone would help them, put your place in the name of someone and put it there. They're easy things to do. But by helping, by reaching out, by connecting, it makes a big difference. We need to recognize that love is not content with just being a feeling. Love requires action. It really does. If I sit there and go, I just love you all, and then I walk out of here and I don't want to talk to anyone, right? That doesn't really show love. That says love, but doesn't show it. I should be sitting here, and we should all sit here, and actually checking in on each other. Being there for each other, sharing each other's lives, sharing each other's burdens, sharing in each other's joys every single day. The last one, after you've confessed your sins and shared your burdens, is to build each other up. To build each other up. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:9 through 11, for God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us that whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. When you encourage each other, when you build each other up, it not only helps that person, you'd be amazed it helps you, but it also helps your relationship. Talking to my wife and son went to Oaxaca and the whole team went down there, I would really encourage you to come out on the 21st. Hear their stories. Hear their stories of what happened, of the relationships were formed and everything. Why? Because they were going down there to help someone, to help families, to build a home, to leave a lasting impression. Who do you think got probably just as much impression on their life? The people who went down. Because when you go, when you help, when you encourage, when you build each other up, guess what happens? You get the same thing. There is a joy inside of you. There is a building up. There's a relationship that starts thriving inside of you. Your life gets changed when you are helping others. So as we're looking at those things, as we're looking at confessing our sins and sharing our burdens and building each other up, we need to recognize that by doing those things, we stop putting on a show. We stop trying to show the world who we think they want us to be and show them who we are. And when we show each other who we are and we open up more and more and we talk about physical problems we're going through, struggles, ailments, when we're talking about relationships with our family, relationships with kids, when we're discussing these things and we're in each other's life, our lives grow closer together. If we want to be a perfect Christian, that means showing our imperfection. It means showing people that we're real people, that we need God. Not that God has, that we have God and now everything's perfect, that we need God because we continue to be imperfect and we want Him to change us and build us up and change us from the inside out so we become more perfect like Him. But we're not there. And we'll never be there. And we need His help every day to help us continue to grow. And we need each other's help. That's what a church is. It's brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a family of believers who show others God's love to each other. And if we want to love Jesus, the best way we can do it is to love our neighbor, is to love each other and to lift each other up. Let's go ahead and pray together. God, thank you so much for allowing us to be here together today as a family, be here together as brothers and sisters, Lord, and be here as imperfect people. God, you say you love us right where we are, that you forgive us right where we are. We don't have to be perfect first and then get forgiveness. You forgive us from our imperfections. You forgive us even though we're messy, even though we have sin. Lord, I pray in our relationships with each other that we would recognize that same thing, that we need to love each other, care for each other, lift each other up, carry each other's burdens, and encourage each other despite our imperfections. And because of them, we need each other, God, just as we need you. And that when we love each other and lift each other up, lives are changed. Relationships are changed. We are changed. God, I pray that as a church, we would become more authentic. We would become more vulnerable. That we wouldn't offer judgment, but we would offer forgiveness and peace and healing and encouragement, God, just as you do for us. That we would be your hands and feet to each other. That the same way we want to love you and the same way you've loved us, we love each other, God, and we lift each other up. And I pray that we would tear those barriers down that keep us apart. We would tear those shells off and be open and real and honest with each other, God, so we can continue to grow in authentic community with each other. And we pray for all these things in your holy name.